will be a little personal. Let me just see. There's something I still miss. Gokishna, did you... Do you know where? Here. Hare Krishna Bhutavarana. Welcome. I always like to... When I'm in temples, to finish or conclude the day of devotional service with some talk about Krishna. And today I would like to discuss a subject that is very close to all of our hearts, that is our own spiritual journey. If you perhaps think a little bit about your spiritual journey, when did it start? Was it when you met devotees, or were you already before before coming in contact with Krishna consciousness spiritually interested? I think many of you are in this category. I do remember my own case. My mother once told me that as a boy I would climb the highest trees without even knowing how to get down. I only knew how to get up, and therefore I would sometimes fall from the trees. I still, at my back there is a white mark marking the place where I fell down and hit with my spine a stone, and I was lying for I think 2 minutes or 3 minutes trying to gasp fresh air, but somehow the breathing function had been disturbed. I couldn't breathe. So still to this day I have this white mark reminding me of the highest trees which I did not know how to get down within. My mother asked me, why do you have to give so much trouble to yourself and our family? And I said, I don't know, mother. I want to be as close to God as possible. Therefore, I climbed the tree. So I also remember in my own life that sometimes when I couldn't sleep in the night, I would climb out through the window, get down on the ground, pass over the cobblestone stones, you know, which were a little bit glimmering in the light of the moonshine, and I went into the garden and climbed a smaller tree and sat in the tree and thought, I know you are out there, God. I know it. And I know that you look at me and wonder when I will turn to you. Today I'm turning to you as my prayer. Please give me a life where I can come closer to you. So I'm sure that all of you have such memories. I remember here in Radhadesh sitting at the same place. Gopinath was this small and Manu was perhaps even a little smaller. And the children were singing a song. So they had been born in Krishna conscious families here actually in Radhadesh, isn't it? And for them, Radha Gopinath were always with them in this life. But maybe others didn't start that early. Maybe you were a party lion in London. And a dancer in Berlin, and you met devotees, or you saw a book that caught your interest. Please, as we start with this class, I would love to request you to think about your own spiritual journey, when it started, no? And This will be very good for you if you want to get the full benefit of the class, which is called The Ultimate Journey. My dear devotees, think a little. Before your two eternities, or in between your two eternities, you have the opportunity to always get rid of something and start something new. In other words, you can always live the small death and start the new birth. I know you have not, it's difficult to understand such language, so let me unpack it. What are the two eternities? Vishakha, you were there before you came in this present body. You were there eternally before this. There will be a time when you die. I think it will happen very soon in Radhadesh, that many devotees who are now with us will die because they look older. And then comes another, a second eternity. No? Before our birth, there was an eternity where we went through various experiences, and after our birth comes the second eternity. And in this small, Prabhupada calls it spot life, you know, when the spotlight is on one place, it only covers a small portion of it. The small spotlight, we have many, many opportunities to be born again and to experience the end of something, to end something and to start something new. Spiritual journey is very important to us. No? And don't stop traveling, because the moment you stagnate, that's the end of your journey. The moment you say, now I know enough, now it's it. You won't move further. Hare Krishna. So some thinking needs to be done by you. I might ask you questions, and it's good if you have answers at that time. Otherwise, you will not participate fully and not derive the full pleasure. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi jana vallava niri varada ri jana vallava niri varada jaya gopi jana vallava Varada Pidana Varada Giri Varada Yasodhanandana Vraja Janadhanjana Yasodhanandana Raja Jana Jana Yamuna Tida Vanachari Tida Vanachari Yamuna Tida Vanachari Hare Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna The cold air bites itself in my shoulder, so please let us all say the pranam mantras to Srila Prabhupada. one moment, we are here.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve
said, there is not a single act that is punished more heavily by nature than if someone hears he should progress in his or her life, but then he resists to progress. That resistance is always punished, because this world is meant for evolution. It is meant for us to move on. And if we do not move on, if we say no, although we know we should move on, then we will get many signs from the material world that it's time to move on. But let us not approach spiritual progress like this. Let us not ask the question, what happens if you resist your own spiritual progress? Let us better ask, what helps us in this journey? And my dear devotees, I want to share my own experience with traveling. I am at a stage in my life where I have really traveled enough. I do not look forward to enter another airplane and fly to China or to Africa or to... it is difficult for me to travel because there's so much vata, so much travel arrangements need to be done, so much obstacles. But the moment I think of the joyful faces of those who wait for me at the next destination, I, without any problem, jump into another car or an airplane or a helicopter or get on top of a camel. The moment I think that those to whom I travel look forward to seeing me. For instance, whenever I think of going to Radhadesh, I think of the reception before my door, and I think of Padmakshi, who will cook like he would cook for the Emperor of China. So many things, and so on. This same motivation is also there if you know that Krishna waits for you, that he is happy if you come to him, that he is there with open arms. There is a beautiful narration of this in a work called Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where the Lord of the Vaikuntha worlds greets the homecoming soul. And it's interesting how he opens his welcome speech. He says, Svagatam, Swagatam. Swagatam means welcome. The Lord is not happy to say welcome only one time. He's so excited, so pleased that he repeats himself. Welcome, very much welcome. And he continues, I have been so eager to see you since so many long days. Oh, friend, you have gone through many births, one after another. But in all these births, you have not shown even the slightest interest in me. But in this birth, this present birth, which brought you here, you turned to me, and because I hoped for this, I had been constantly dancing before my door. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. Don't know how you are when you expect a very dear guest. Already the day before he comes, you're nervous, no? And then when the day comes when he arrives, you might a few times go before your door and just check, is he already coming? And you may look through the window. Wow, there's so many people. Maybe one of them is his. So is this person. So here the Lord says, I have been dancing in excitement like an ignorant person. Oh, brother, but you were very slow. I was thinking in my mind, what can I do? What trick can I use by which I could bring you here sooner? Of course, I couldn't violate my own injunctions in the Vedas. Do you know what is Krishna's principle, which he has often declared? He will not interfere in your freedom. In other words, he can't just simply kidnap you. That would be not a loving action. The Lord waits for you to show signs. He will not mix into your free will. If he sees, oh, he wants to enjoy, she wants to enjoy, then he reluctantly, sadly says, then I can't do anything. That's the wish of this person. I will not interfere. So, my dear child, I was very upset in my heart that you ignored me for so long. My dear devotees, just hear the love of Krishna, no? Of the Lord. I was so eager for your mercy that you would come, that I violated the religious principles that were made by myself. So he couldn't wait. He couldn't just kidnap him, but he could do something to violate, to take the initiative. What I did is, I made you take your birth near my own beloved Sri Govardhan. While I descended there as your guru named Jayanta. So this is Krishna, he does something. He makes us take birth in a certain situation. Some of you have been born in the family of devotees. Some of you have been born in a life where you quickly could see the illusions of material life. So that is when Krishna, he doesn't really interfere exactly, because you can always say no, but he does something so that you come closer. And I came also to you as your guru named Jayanta. Today, where you have come to me, you have fulfilled my long-standing desires. Just stay here and increase my happiness and yours. My dear devotees, this were the words spoken by Lord Narayan, the Lord of the Vaikuntha planets. And it shows us how eager Lord Narayan is, how eager the Lord is. He waits for us on the path. And he's so excited that he may even dance. But he is then sad because we just show no interest. And then he makes some little arrangements where we can decide easier. He gives us a certain berth. He gives us certain arrangements. And he comes into our lives as the spiritual master whom we meet. And I do remember my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada was only through sound. I was sitting in the temple. The devotees were very busy, and I think they were having a marathon to publish the next magazine, so no one had time for me. But that didn't matter, because one person had time for me. In the neighboring room, next to the room where I sat, there was a record player, and in this and there was a long playing record. This is not so common any longer, but it is printed, and Prabhupada sang on this record the Chintamani prayers. And my dear devotees, I was a lover of music, but I had never heard such music in my life. I knew classical, I knew Cambodian chord music, I knew jazz and free jazz, and I knew every music, rock and roll, everything. But I hadn't heard such music. And his voice, I hadn't heard this voice. I had heard Louis Armstrong, I had heard everyone, Mick Jagger, I had heard opera singers, but this voice was so different, and it seemed to call me. I remember I closed my eyes and I saw temples, rivers, holy rivers, and I felt called, and I knew this is my call. If I don't act now, I will go in a wrong direction in my life. So yes, this was Krishna's arrangement. He came to me as my spiritual master, and I could somehow be so fortunate to not resist his calling. So although Lord Narayan was very happy to see him, but his happiness was not as great as the happiness of Krishna in Vrindavan when he sees the soul returning. Krishna in Vrindavan was so happy when Gop Kumar came that he fainted, and he wetted the ground with his perspiration and tears so that he was smeared by the earth of Vrindavan. Narayan didn't faint. He doesn't do such things, by the way. But Krishna, when Krishna saw this soul who returned, he fainted in ecstasy. And Gop Kumar remembers, that's the soul who returns, remembered, I was overwhelmed by love when I saw Krishna. Krishna was also controlled by feelings of love for this wretched soul. He jumped up, he came to me, he held me around the neck, and then he fainted of ecstatic love and fell to the ground. Wow! This is joy. So my dear devotees, let us pause here and just understand one thing. You are expected. you have an invitation, a standing invitation. Perhaps it was already there in your previous life, but you said no. There are arrangements further. There are most probably arrangements in your life which you need to celebrate more and be more grateful for. These are arrangements which the Lord has made for you. And I will talk a little later about this. Now, this journey to meet Krishna is called in Sanskrit an abhisara. Usually, the word abhisara is reserved for Radha when she goes and meets Krishna. But we can learn some principles in the love journey of Radharani. You know, if Krishna is already so happy to see one relatively unknown devotee coming back to him, how much more eager, how much more happy he must be to see the greatest of all his devotees, that is Srimati Radharani. Krishna is thirsting to meet Radha. And every morning he is, together with his friends, waiting at the town's gate of Nandagram for Radha to appear. Do you remember why Radharani comes every morning to Krishna? To cook. Yes, she has a blessing given to her by Durvasa Muni. I think also Padmakshi has the same blessing, but that may be a speculation. Radharani's blessing is, the blessing given to her is, that whoever eats her food will have a long life, will see no illness and no misery in his life. And therefore, Mother Yashoda begged Radharani's mother, her name is Kirtida, some of you have said in a whispering voice, let Radha come every morning to cook for my little boy. He's so restless. He needs good food and strong food. So Kirtida said yes. And that's how Radha comes every morning to Nandagram. When Radha leaves her place, either Vashana or Jati or so on, then she will open her veil, usually she's veiled, put it down and walk very happily with her friends, and they will laugh, they will soon sing the holy name of Krishna, and they sing, their song is so sweet. They look, as they walk through the land of Braj, like the full moon surrounded with many stars, so beautiful. But as Radharani approaches the town's gate, her steps become slow. And sometimes she walks to the left or right side so that her servants, Rupa Manjari, need to show her the way. This is the way, Radha. And Rati Manjari is in the back, and she holds Radha so that she doesn't fall, because Radha gets more and more intoxicated by her great love for Krishna. She says, I'm not sure if this is the way. No, it's the way, Radha. We go it every morning. Then, as Srimati Radharani goes, one of her girl companions, Lalita, says, look there, the town's gate. Do you see the bluish aura? And Radha says, I can't continue to walk any longer. What is the bluish aura? From where is it coming? Krishna. wow, you know Krishna consciousness in and out. Yes, Krishna is there in the town's gate and he has a lotus flower in his right hand and he whirls it around, indicating to Radharani and all his devotees, just like I'm whirling around this lotus flower, I will make your mind spin as you see my beauty. Krishna can say like this. If you would say, it would be objectionably, you know, but Krishna can say he's the cause of all beauty. So Radha sees this beautiful scene of Krishna. She covers her veil and she says, I can't move forward. There are so many pebbles or stones on the path. And Lalita says, are these stones on the path or are these stones which hamper you from moving forward, perhaps in your mind? So Radha has to move on. Her girlfriend's leader, she covers her head with a veil and she sees Krishna, how he is smiling and how he is swirling this lotus flower in the right hand, indicating, I will swirl your mind. Radha's eyes become like cups which she wants to drink the beauty of Krishna. Her nose also become like cups with which she wants to drink the fragrance of Krishna. Her ears become like cups because she wants to hear any nectarian word that comes from Krishna. She's overwhelmed in ecstasy and forgetting herself to see better. For a moment, she slightly opens her veil. You remember she had covered herself. And at that moment, Krishna can see her face. He can hear the bangles sweetly jingling. And he can see the rings on the finger. They shoot an unearthly or super earthly or mega earthly, or you would say cool, light at Krishna. Krishna is dazzled. He cannot move any longer and the lotus flower drops from his hand because it is now Radha whose hairs are standing on end which make Krishna's mind spin. There are narrations, my dear devotees, where the Lord, seeing Srimati Radharani, is so dazzled that he loses his turban. Yes, he loses his scarf. And as Radha continues to look at him, he loses his dhoti. When a hero enters the battlefield and he loses he loses his weapons, then he's finished. So Krishna is waiting so eagerly for Radha that when he sees her, he shows all these ecstatic signs. My dear devotees, this is Radha's abhisar. But let us return back to your journey. When I was in Switzerland, I read the amazing story of Freddy and Sabina. They were two young people of Switzerland. They earned money and they went on a world tour. When they came to Latin America, there was a gang robbing the girl and taking her. She had a golden chain and a golden heart, which was given to her by Freddy, her friend, and that was robbed away. And Freddy said, from this moment, let us be happy that we are still alive, but he carried a knife from that moment onwards. They came to California. They bought, you know, Swiss people are a little rich. They bought a camper and drove through all of America and did what young people do who are covered by the illusory energy. I do not need to say more. You can imagine it on your own. Then the travel became a little difficult. They sold the camper and they were sitting in the Los Angeles airport when Sabina's eyes fell upon a book that seemed to be full of light. She came closer and she saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She immediately, as she was waiting, they were waiting for their flight, I forgot where, was reading the book, and the book spoke to her, although she could not understand any other sentence than the sentence which was written by George Harrison: everyone looks for Krishna. This is all she remembered. She read for a few hours, but also knew the information. They traveled, continued to travel around the world. They came to New Zealand, and there again something happened. They were in Christchurch. All of a sudden, they heard a sound which you know very well, but just in case. And around the corner came the most amazing people, shaved up, smiling, dancing, jumping, and shouting something. And Sabine and Fritter said, they have something to do with this book, which we found. Sabina had not taken the book out with her on the flight because she thought maybe it's someone who has left the book on the seat and maybe that person will return back. So I don't want to steal the book from that person. It's a precious book. So they asked the people, do you have a book? It's silver and there is a divine couple in love on the cover. And they said, well, not with us, we have only invitation cards to the temple, but why don't you come to the temple next day? So they went to the temple, they found the book and other books, and they went back to the hotel and read the book all night long and discussed it in the morning. Then they continued, they went again to the temple, and the temple president said they should go to the farm, and they went to the Australian or New Zealand farm, and they stayed there, and they became very familiar with Krishna consciousness. Then they left the farm, they quarreled, as young people do, and they separated, they divorced, they ended their relationship. A little later, Freddie remembered the philosophy and he became a devotee, and his initiated name is Radhesyam Prabhu. He's very close to my heart. He's a philosopher. And I also met the Sabina, I think was her name. She became Guru Seva and is a disciple of our nice Maharaj. Help me with N. Niranjana Maharaj, exactly. And he became a disciple of Tamakrishna Maharaj. So I will come now to the main point of my story. I have only prepared you for the main story. Freddy liked mountains. One day, Radhesyam, he climbed a mountain in Switzerland, and he somehow fell from the mountain down on the ground. All his bones broke and part of his brain was splattered over the rocks. He was found and brought by helicopter to the hospital, and it looked that his life was gone. But somehow, Swiss medicine, they brought him back to life, but he didn't remember his name, he didn't remember his family, he was remarried, he didn't remember his wife, but he had written about, he had written a book detailing his journey to Krishna consciousness. You remember how they went to Latin America, how they were robbed by this gang, how they went to America, got a camper, eventually sold a camper, how they found this book first in the airport, then how they found the devotees in New Zealand, how they then went to the farm and eventually became a devotee. He had written it all down. It's such a big book. I have this book. I had it, but then I gave it away, and so on. So here is Radhesyam. After this long journey, he is lying in the hospital. Really, my dear devotees, I can't imagine that all his bones, maybe there was an ear bone left which was not broken, but all the important bones were broken, and he cannot remember a thing. He cannot remember the name, he cannot remember the German or Swiss German language. The brain is not working. So a devotee comes with a book. Radhesyam, it's me. Radhesyam, Radhesyam. It's me, your friend. He cannot remember a thing. Radhesyam, says the devotee, you're not responding very nicely today. So he takes the book and he starts to read from the book the memories of Radhesyam, the arrangement which Krishna made, the books which Krishna placed here and there in Los Angeles, in New Zealand, and everywhere. You know, it's a really long story. And each day Radhesyam's eyes look a little bit better. Light comes in his eyes. And each day the devotee comes and reads the book. It's a book like this, 762 pages or so. And every day a memory comes because he remembers how Krishna was merciful to him, how he made arrangements. And nowadays, Radhesyam is okay. I wanted to meet him, but he was walking in the Swiss Alps. We couldn't meet, but so on. My dear devotees, what is your story? Has your story ended on one day before Balaram's appearance day? What is this? We have the year 25. I know where we are. 2025. What is our month? August. What is our date today? The what? The 8th. Is your journey finished? Hogya, done. Everything. My dear devotees, remember not where what you still have in front of you. For a moment, remember what you have already walked, the path which you have walked already, the blessings which have been given to you, so that you could come so far. And then, when you know this, remember Krishna waiting at the end of the path. When is he coming? When is she coming? Oh, oh, oh. Tomorrow, my dear devotees, is your best day. Tomorrow is the day of Krishna's first expansion, Lord Balaram. This form of the Lord is particularly in charge of one thing which we all need, that is the strength to move on, the strength to say no and to Maya, and also the strength to say no to our comfort zone. Remember, there's only one thing which you can do that is most severely looked upon, that is to not move forward when you feel called to move forward. Then other signs will come. This is what I wanted to say to you. What do you think? Nothing. No, I'm trying to evoke some response to you. No, seriously, what do you think? It's an interesting thing, no? Think for a moment how far you have gone, what arrangement Krishna has made, whom you have met, how this happened and that happened. Think also about the frustrations which you have gone through, which have shown you this is not the path for you. There's another path waiting. Think about your life as an arrangement of Krishna who is waiting for you to return to him. And then for a moment, project your consciousness in the future. Yes, dare to leave your comfort zone. Oh, everything is all right the way it is. I have 3 times to eat. My belly has also moved forward. It is all very well and very normal, and so on. Think about the invitation which is there. I mean, although we don't like to see Krishna faint because of us, that is not a nice meditation for a devotee, but we certainly want him to be pleased and happy that, and he will say, finally, he or she has learned the lessons, turned to me and moved on. Hare Krishna. Good. I'm finished here. One moment. Do you sometimes wonder if Krishna really likes you? No, yes. Middle. We don't think at this moment, Maharaj. I sometimes have this question. How can he really love me? I wrote a poem in this connection, which is not yet totally finished, but soon it's finished. My only one question is the poem called, and in the question I asked myself, is he really interested in me of all people? And in the poem I try to describe that no, Krishna must be interested because he must have listened to my prayers to bring me in contact with enlightened soul, with Prabhupada, and I met him and so on. So he must have made some arrangements. So, Krishna, if you want to see if Krishna is there in your life, look around for the arrangements he has made and perhaps listen a little bit more carefully and you will hear his call in the heart. Come on, come on, come on. Why do you move so slowly? You will hear this, especially in the nights when you wake up. You will hear it. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj,
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
You must ask a question. Sarvatma Prabhu, blondes are also people.
I've asked this question before, and I've got a few answers, but I would like to hear your perspective. Krishna has expanded in many different forms. The jivas is one of them, but he has a prerogative of expanding himself in Vishnu tattvas. So why is that he expands as jivas? They are fallible. They make mistakes. They tend to be illusion, all the fallibilities of the jivas, where he could have actually made expansions as Vishnu tattvas, which are perfect and they can reciprocate wonderfully and make Krishna happy. So what's the explanation that you may have?
I don't know if it's an explanation, but the expansions of the Lord are one with him, but the jivas, although being expansions of him, with him, are one and different. So there needs to be a difference in order to feel love. He has expanded himself into the jivas in order to embark in the great adventure of love. Love for them, he loves all of us, but also the love which is reciprocated by them to him. There is a verse in the Taittiriya Upanishad to this effect. In order to enjoy, the one became many. And that's how the jivas, and this refers to the jivas, not the expansions. In the experience of love, two loving people create something absolutely new, something fascinating, something which is called a V. And in this adventure of love, something happens which is fascinating. That is, it becomes one again. Those who say they know love, where they love another, they don't know what is prema, that type of love which Krishna has. Because in prema, there is no other. It disappears. It's just a V, a together. And that is what Krishna wants to enjoy, that we are becoming one with him in love again. The spark returns to the fire and dances. It dances. So I hope this has answered your question to a millimeter of satisfaction, because your question requires an answer as big as the Himalaya mountains. But yes, he has expanded himself in order to enjoy this love. And for that, some difference first is there, but the difference again becomes mostly one. But of course, we are never God. We are one and different, but the emphasis is there on the one. Krishna. Once Prabhupada was asked by one Christian priest who was very serious, they had a very, very good discussion, for what then should we pray? And Prabhupada said, we should pray, my Lord, let me love you. And then he said another prayer, please give me the strength to love me and not to love you. Please give me the strength to love you. And then he said, any other prayer will not make you happy. Interesting, because this prayer relates to the mission of the Lord to enjoy the love of the jivas. I'm talking big words. Help me purify my heart, then my heart can love the moment. Work in progress. Hare Krishna. Any other? Madan Mohan Mohini.
How can we understand we are really sincere?
How can we understand that we are really sincere? You have to look at your desire and check your desire. Is it for Krishna? Or is it for other things? Yes. You have to look at your desire. I am reminded of Srila Prabhupada's motto. He explained that once. He said, in his life he had one motto only. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. That's sincerity. Everything for Krishna. Just imagine everything that includes your rasagula on the plate. All these small things. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. And in that sincere desire is the highest form of Krishna consciousness is there. Krishna. Ananga Manjari, I see you. Hare Krishna, welcome. Good. Anyone else? Yes, your good name, I know your name, but please repeat it so that I can remember it. Nischintya Prabhu. Yes, yes, Nischintya Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Is there any significance, or what is the significance of the response of Lord Narayan versus Lord Krishna in relation to Srila Bhagavatam?
Yeah, the relationship is that Lord Narayan keeps relationships ultimately that are always mixed with awe and reverence, whereas Krishna, the relationships are with friends, with parents. We never hear of the friends of Narayan or of the parents of Narayan. No. Of servants of Narayan, I have not heard about them by name, but I know that there are many servants. But Krishna is more ecstatic and playful, if you look back for a moment, you see Krishna surrounded with his cowherd boyfriends, and they joke and they ask Krishna to close his eyes, and then they feed him something. And once they played actually together, this play where the losing party has to carry the other party on the bag, and Krishna's party lost. That meant he had to carry someone on his back, but he was not up to it, and he said, no, I don't carry anyone today on my back. So all the other friends said, why not? I don't feel like this. Are we friends? You can't be so moody. Why? Give us one reason why you should not carry anyone on your back. Krishna said, because I'm the son of Maharaj Nanda. I'm the king's son. Said the friends. Just because your father may have a few more cows, this does not give you the right to not play by the rules. You must now carry so-and-so on your back. Krishna said, no. Then why not give us one reason? And Krishna was really hard-pressed. Because I'm God. God doesn't have to carry anyone, no? He can make the rules. And so all of them just laughed and laughed and laughed. I mean, this is too much, Gopal. Now you're even making an offense against the Creator. If you are God, then give us a proof. So Krishna was now getting a little into it, you know. He said, okay, close your eyes. Open your eyes. So they opened their eyes and they were in Vaikuntha. They were in the big assembly hall where Lord Narayan sees everyone. He was sitting on a, you know, Lakshmi was next to him. He was fanned. And it was clear to the cowherd boys that was their Gopal. So they started to sing, Gopal! You know, express their devotion. But they were hushed, silent. Chant Vedic mantras if you know any, but not these folk songs, you know. And they were, what? We cannot. They wanted to run to embrace, but they were kept, you know, by the servants, and they felt very miserable. So the Lord sitting there, Narayan is the same as Krishna, Krishna is the same as Narayan, you know. Absolute one, this is oneness, you know. The Lord winked at them. Do you see? And then he said, close your eyes. So they all closed their eyes, and then they heard the voice of the Lord, open your eyes now. And they were under their favorite tree. Perhaps this is what the artist showed, you know. They have one tree, it's called the, it is a tree who is in Bandiravan. The branches of the tree, it's a banyan tree, are so huge that they lead over the entire Yamuna, and the friends dance on the branches and play their plays. So they found themselves under that banyan tree in Bandiravan. And they said, okay, Gopal, today you don't have to carry anyone on your shoulders, but tomorrow you will have to. And Krishna, of course, it's one of his many, many leelas. So there is a difference. They're one and also absolutely one and absolutely different. Of Narayan, you know, the oneness is emphasized here. And Lord Narayan has a different reaction. He's not so intimate. He's not so he's more formal. The worship is more in awe and reverence than with Krishna, which is in the distinguishing feature of Krishna and all the other expansions of God is his madhuryavatva, which means his sweetness. That is Krishna, sweet. His gait is sweet, his smile is sweet, his flute playing is sweet, his friends are sweet, everything is sweet about the Lord of sweetness, and even his punishment is sweet. There's a song like this, goes like this. All right then, everyone, I thank you very much. Let me look at the wristwatch. Soon the altar will open and I think we should start our evening kirtans. It was a pleasure to be with you. I hope you feel encouraged by this lecture, and I hope you will take a little time to think about your own spiritual journey, Ram Hari, what happened, and you will feel great encouragement that we will actually see the Lord's arrangement in many ways. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.